When we finally reach the long-hoped-for theory of everything, we shall see that the six key numbers depend upon each other or on something else as yet unknown in ways that we today cannot imagine. The six numbers may turn out to be no freer to vary than is the ratio of a circle's circumference to its diameter. It will turn out that there is only one way for a universe to be. Far from God being needed to twiddle six knobs, there are no knobs to twiddle.
Other physicists, Martin Rees himself would be an example, find this unsatisfying, and I think I agree with them. It is indeed perfectly plausible that there is only one way for a universe to be, but why did that one way have to be such a setup for our eventual evolution? Why did it have to be the kind of universe which seems almost as if, in the words of the theoretical physicist Freeman Dyson, it must have known we were coming? The philosopher John Leslie uses the analogy of a man sentenced to death by firing squad. It is just possible that all 10 men of the firing squad will miss their victim. With hindsight, the survivor, who finds himself in a position to reflect upon his luck, can cheerfully say, "Well, obviously they all missed, or I wouldn't be here thinking about it." But he could still, forgivably, wonder why they all missed, and toy with the hypothesis that they were bribed or drunk. This objection can be answered by the suggestion which Martin Rees himself supports, that there are many universes coexisting like bubbles of foam in a multiverse, or megaverse as Leonard Susskind prefers to call it. The laws and constants of any one universe, such as our observable universe, are bylaws. The multiverse as a whole has a plethora of alternative sets of bylaws. The anthropic principle kicks in to explain that we have to be in one of those universes, presumably a minority, whose bylaws happen to be propitious to our eventual evolution and hence contemplation of the problem. An intriguing version of the multiverse theory arises out of considerations of the ultimate fate of our universe. Depending upon the values of numbers such as Martin Rees's six constants, our universe may be destined to expand indefinitely, or it may stabilize at an equilibrium, or the expansion may reverse itself and go into contraction, culminating in the so-called Big Crunch. Some Big Crunch models have the universe then bouncing back into expansion, and so on indefinitely with, say, a 20 billion year cycle time. The standard model of our universe says that time itself began in the Big Bang, along with space, some 13 billion years ago. The serial Big Crunch model would amend that statement. Our time and space did indeed begin in our Big Bang, but this was just the latest in a long series of Big Bangs, each one initiated by the Big Crunch that terminated the previous universe in the series. Nobody understands what goes on in singularities such as the Big Bang, so it is conceivable that the laws and constants are reset to new values each time. If bang expansion contraction crunch cycles have been going on forever, like a cosmic accordion, we have a serial rather than a parallel version of the multiverse. Once again, the anthropic principle does its explanatory duty. Of all the universes in the series, only a minority have their dials tuned to biogenic conditions. And of course, the present universe has to be one of that minority because we are in it. As it turns out, this serial version of the multiverse must now be judged less likely than it once was, because recent evidence is starting to steer us away from the Big Crunch model. It now looks as though our own universe is destined to expand forever.
Another theoretical physicist, Lee Smolin, has developed a tantalizingly Darwinian variant on the multiverse theory, including both serial and parallel elements. Smolin's idea, expounded in The Life of the Cosmos, hinges on the theory that daughter universes are born of parent universes, not in a fully fledged Big Crunch, but more locally in black holes. Smolin adds a form of heredity. The fundamental constants of a daughter universe are slightly mutated versions of the constants of its parent. Heredity is the essential ingredient of Darwinian natural selection, and the rest of Smolin's theory follows naturally. Those universes that have what it takes to survive and reproduce come to predominate in the multiverse. What it takes includes lasting long enough to reproduce. Because the act of reproduction takes place in black holes, successful universes must have what it takes to make black holes. This ability entails various other properties. For example, the tendency for matter to condense into clouds and then stars,